everyone, this is Dr. Divya Kannan and I'm back with episode 5 of the Break It Down podcast. And today we're going to be talking about all those of us who spend maybe a lot more time than we should comparing ourselves to others. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the research and psychology behind social comparison so that we can really understand our motives for this behavior. Now, at the root of it, why do we engage in constant comparison with others? Is it because as human beings, we're always climbing some kind of social or professional ladder? Or is it because at our core, we are confronted with our insecurities, our fears, our desires? And so when we view that post where we see a colleague's new promotion or that new car your friend just bought, we instinctively hit the like button. But what do we really feel on the inside? Why is it so hard to stay in our lane sometimes? And why do we always gravitate towards what's happening in the lane next to us? Now, from my conversations with clients who struggle with social comparison, when we look at others' achievements, we go to the place of, can I get where they are? Can I be as successful or more successful one day? Will I be able to ever afford that really expensive vacation? So we perceive the other as being in a blissful or perfect place in life, and we view ourselves as now needing various kinds of social, professional, financial renovation to make our life look just like the pictures that we see on social media. So are you a constant comparer, or do you keep your eyes mostly on your own journey? Now, if you ask yourself some of these questions, it will clue you in as to whether you compare yourselves to others a lot. Do you compare your popularity, or how many friends you have, or how many events you get invited to, with that of your peers? Do you compare your professional achievements with others in your life? Do you compare your possessions with others, like your car, your phone, the size of your home? Do you compare the accomplishments of your significant other or your loved ones with how other people are doing? Do you frequently ask others' opinions before you make a decision about something? And do you rarely consider what your life looks like relative to others? What we usually do is look at how others' lives look in relation to ours. So if you answered yes to most of these questions, it's possible that you're living your life through the lens of other people. Now, if we examine the very interesting social comparison theory, which was developed in psychology back in the 1950s, the foundation of this theory is that there is a desire in all of us to understand and learn and improve ourselves through what we see others do. Now, social media has simply made that much easier to do, but comparing ourselves to others was there a long while before that. This is something universal. So the theory suggests that at a basic level, we compare two essential things. The first is, how am I doing? The second is, how should I think or feel? And to answer these questions, we engage in comparison. The premise is that we compare in an upward fashion to improve ourselves or to work towards enhancing how we think of ourselves. Now, later on, there was an interesting body of research on what was called downward comparison became popular. Here the idea is that we tell ourselves, oh, my life is not as bad as that person's. I feel better already. And we see this a lot when people try to soothe themselves if they are suffering emotionally. We might say, my problems aren't as severe as that person or that group of people. It could be a lot worse for me. And we cope better with things when we have this kind of thinking. Or we say, you know what, my tennis game isn't great, but it's not bad as the person who played just before me. This kind of thinking helps us arrive at a more kind evaluation about something that we may not be very happy with. Now, developmentally, this orientation towards comparison, it might be stronger in some versus others, and it can be looked at from our early years. How competitive did our schools expect us to be? Or what message about comparison did we get at a young age? Who did you get compared to when you were a child? So we get told to be like others, but we're also expected to be unique and be different from others. And for some, this can be quite conflicting. Now, one way around this trap is to compare our learning and achievement to our past selves rather than always compare to others. So if you want to win more tennis matches, it may be healthier to compare the number of matches you won last year or last season compared to how many games your opponent won. Now, it also gives a more accurate picture of why our abilities are where they are. Sometimes there's a lot of information that goes missing that we don't have context for when we compare to others. For instance, maybe my friend won more tennis matches because they went to a summer camp to train and I didn't or I couldn't. So comparison with others can set up this apples and oranges scenario without us even realizing it. Another interesting finding about social comparison is that our comparisons may often be mood dependent. Now, what this means is if I'm feeling down or sad, I may find myself more vulnerable to the negative effects of social comparison. I may take it more to heart. But if I'm fairly content with the way my life is going right now, then I'm less likely to feel deeply affected by what others are doing. And there tends to be a loop that we get trapped into. The more we compare, the more we see discrepancies in where we are and where we want to be. And this gap tends to create more dissatisfaction within ourselves. So although comparison was meant to be uplifting and help us improve ourselves, that was the original functionality of it. It's actually doing the opposite. Social comparison is now associated with mild depression, anxiety, relationship distress, and perfectionism. So we have established, I think, that too much comparison isn't very healthy for us. So how can we start to address this in our daily lives? I think it's important to remember that the basis for comparison can be anything. And it's often multiple things. When we start comparing in one area of our lives, we not only increase our comparisons within this area because it becomes a repeated behavior or habit that reinforces itself, but we also start to apply this process to other areas. So the first thing to do is to take stock of which areas you do compare and which areas you don't. Do you compare how much money you have, how your body, your appearance, how happy you are, your children, their abilities, and the list goes on. Now, once you become aware of where the comparisons lie, try to remind yourself consistently that what you're actually comparing is just moments or snapshots of the other person's life. And what is missing is that relevant context or personal cost even to the other person. You don't see that, particularly on social media. Remember that what you see is what people want you to see. What they don't want you to see is often well hidden. And the same may go for your own posts and the way you present yourself. It's also important to ask yourself, what are you gaining from the comparisons you make? One way to think about this is to reflect on the short versus the long term. For example, in the short term, it may actually motivate me to see that someone else has a podcast on mental health, which I find really quite good. And now I'm motivated to think about the next episode already for my own podcast. But if I use this as the only motivating factor in the long run, then I'm losing touch with why I created this podcast in the first place. And the personal meaning of speaking about mental health starts to shift for me. And before I know it, with repeated comparisons, if I'm not mindful of this pattern, the only reason I'd be doing these podcasts in the future is to sound like someone else or to get ahead of someone else. A happier and more balanced medium might be to say, okay, I do like what that other person is doing, and maybe I incorporate some of those elements, but I don't lose my original purpose and goal. This would be a more constructive way, I think, to balance out what I have to offer and what I see others offering as well. Now, while we can't get rid of social comparison completely, and maybe we shouldn't, because society also serves as an important check for our own behavior, and we also need to have great role models and mentors in life and aspire to something. But what we can do more of is feel inspired and energized by how we engage with our own lives as well. And this requires looking inward more and outward a little less. And that needs a good bit of authenticity and acceptance of where we are, for us to maybe acknowledge to ourselves that maybe I don't want that dream job because it's too much responsibility for right now, even though that salary would be great. But would I be leading the life I want? And making those choices could mean missing out on something, but we also need to look deeper and closer at what we gain from listening to ourselves. Lastly, ask yourself how you feel after you compare yourself with others. If you feel uplifted, inspired, and motivated, then maybe that particular comparison worked well for you. But if you end up feeling worse about yourself, demotivated, discontent, then it's not as effective. So as we come to the end of this episode, do think about whether you are leading a life that revolves around who you are in the present moment and who you want to be in the next. Or are you leading a life around who and where you think you should be and feel stuck about the gaps that you see between the two? So basing your entire identity around what you don't have and what others have can create a lot of barriers in the journey that you're on and make that road very, very bumpy. So spending more time looking inward at your own path and accepting that your journey may look quite different from others, but holds personal significance and meaning for you. If you can come to value that, then that may help you break out of this repetitive, instinctual cycle of constant comparison. So thanks a lot for listening in today, folks. I hope this episode will make you more mindful of the comparisons that you make in your life. I will be back soon with the next episode, as always. Take care.